Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to head inside the film room and break down the tape. The FantasyGuru.com weekly matchup podcast is on. Here's John Hansen and Greg Cosell.
The Week 5 matchup podcast coming at you now here, and I'm John Hansen. FantasyGuru.com, Mr. Greg Cosell from NFL Films, joining us in a moment here on Thursday, October 8th. Week 5 kicks off tonight. The Houston Texans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And before we get into it, just another reminder, the subscription price to FantasyGuru.com has been reduced with the regular season underway. We've been rolling out our DFS Guru Excel tool. It is very badass. People are winning money. One dude won like 20 grand a couple of weeks ago, sent a tweet over to me and said thanks. And we're like, you're welcome. Check it out at FantasyGuru.com. It's only 25 bucks for the rest of the season for a subscription to the aforementioned website as well. Basically the same price we charged two decades ago. I challenge America to come up with another product that's going for the same rate that it was in 1995. That's what I say. And without any further ado, we go to Mr. Greg Cosell. Greg, good morning.
You're challenging America, John?
I'm challenging America to come up with another product or service that costs the same as it did in 1995. That's what FantasyGuru.com is.
I like that, John.
I mean, what other product has improved 500% in the last 20 years and hasn't been raised the price? I mean, I challenge America to give me another one.
There you go.
We even got Greg Cosell. We didn't have Greg Cosell in 1995. We didn't raise the price. See that? Nothing else needs to be said, Greg. That's all that needs to be said.
I'm speechless, John. I'm speechless.
You're without speech. You are. let's look at Indy at Houston here, and the Texan D, Greg, for fantasy has been horrible. I mean, literally
horrible.
The worst. I mean, they're the worst. For fantasy, they have six sacks, two picks, no fumble recoveries, no touchdowns, nothing. And, you know, what are you seeing on tape here out of this defense?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't think – I think that the main issue you look at when you look at their defense is their inability to pressure the quarterback. And look, they have J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt is really their only pass rusher at this point, and you can design protections to double him, to take care of him to some degree, and they're not getting much from the other side. Clowney at this point, he's, I guess, a work in progress. Whether he becomes a big-time pass rusher remains to be seen, but he's certainly not at that level right now. So they've really struggled to get any kind of consistent pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and they were pretty good against the run. By the numbers going into last week, and then Devonta Freeman, Teron Ward, and the Falcons ran for a buck 40 with four touchdowns, and they gave up 54 fantasy points. So, Frank Gore, you know, it's a tough go with these fumbles here, but you know, we keep talking about it behind a shabby O line. He does, in your mind, Greg. Let's get your thoughts. I think he still looks good, don't you think?
I don't think he's looked bad at all. I don't think you look at him and think that, hey, he's not a good player. But, you know, I find their offense, it's for me, it's a little difficult to evaluate. I mean, look, last week he played a lot of snaps. You know, he carried the ball more times in that game than any. He did have, you know, a run over 20 yards. And if you take away that run, the numbers were not very good at all.
No.
I guess we don't know about Andrew Luck. Do you know what the status is?
Well, I think it's pointing toward him playing tonight. I mean, I think that's fairly clear. I mean, you know, I think we were all surprised last week, though. There's no question about it. But I think that, you know, he's going to go. It's questionable. He's still questionable. You know, he's been limited, but he took the majority of snaps in practice on Tuesday, Greg, and that's their only practice.
Well, that would lead to him playing. Yeah, and that would lead to him playing. And again, now the question with Gore is, with Luck clearly still having an injury, how do they approach this game in terms of their offense? Do they try to take some pressure off Luck and give the ball to Gore and make this a Gore game to some degree? I mean, barring anything unforeseen, John, you don't think Houston's going to put up 30 points. So you figure the game's going to be close, within range. You don't have to get away from the run game. So is this the game that Frank Gore gets, 23 carries? And again, then it comes down to success. No coach just keeps pounding it if there's no success. So he's going to have some relative early success in this game.
Last week, I was kind of calling for Kobe Fleener, and he did have a real nice game. And when you look at this offense, I know they're kind of a mess. They don't have an identity right now. What do you think they can do to get rolling here? I mean, get the tight ends more involved. Make Moncrief a featured guy, even though he kind of is already. Any thoughts on the Colt offense?
Well, their profile of the last 2 years, they've not been able to execute efficiently this year for a number of reasons. The O-line, which has not been particularly great the last couple of years, has even gotten a little worse. So they were not able to throw the ball with Luck the way they want to, which again puts too much pressure on Luck. He gets hit more. He makes some ill-advised throws. And so the sort of their profile, which was a passing team, was not really able to come to fruition through the first three games before Luck got hurt. And now the question becomes, do they try to transition into being a more balanced offense, which of course from a fantasy standpoint would make Gore much more of a featured player, but we don't know that specifically. I think tonight we'll get an interesting look at that, because ideally you don't want Luck dropping back with deep drops behind that O-line with an injury.
Yeah. Akeem Dent, by the way, Quentin Demps. Akeem Dent is out, but Quentin Demps is also out, Greg. And he's a guy, he's been around. They picked him up, late in training, but he was a starter for them at the
Strong Safety. Which in a sense tells you that they're struggling at the safety position.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for the Texans, they're not going to have wide receivers, Nate Washington and Cecil Short. So it's the kid, Keith Mumphrey and Sons, as I call him. He'll likely start, and DeAndre Hopkins is going to be fed the rock. And Greg, it looks like Vonta Davis, it looks like he's not going to play. So I guess Greg Toler will have to shadow, Hopkins. I mean, you and I have thoughts on Hopkins, but the bottom line for fantasy, I mean, the dude is just getting fed the rock. So, yeah. Any thoughts on Foster?
And that'll continue.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on
who? Foster? Did you see Foster last week?
No, I did not.
It's all right. No, I thought he looked very sluggish when he was running it, but I'm sure that's a function of just one game back. And I fully expect him to catch like six balls tonight if they have any struggles running it. Because as you know, Greg, the Colts have been pretty good against the run. So let's move on. Let's go to New Orleans at Philadelphia. And I know you broke down the tape here in Philadelphia. I mean, we're hardly out of the woods.
Yeah.
We're hardly out of the woods here, Greg, but did you see any signs of life from Sam Bradford, maybe Nelson Aguilar? And I know you have some thoughts on what you saw out of Murray. So talk about Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was a stretch in the third quarter where Bradford seemed to get into a little rhythm throwing the ball. He made a couple of very, very good throws. It was just a small stretch, and other than that, he's still an uncomfortable, unsettled player who I think is playing a little fast and not seeing things. Murray, it'll be very interesting what Chip Kelly decides to do, because it's clear on tape at this point in time that Ryan Matthews is the far better runner. I mean, when you watch Murray's 30-yard run, which he had early in the game, might have been the first possession, he was laboring. When he broke away from the point of attack to open space, there was no juice at all, John. He was laboring. Now, I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if he's worn out. We've talked about this. He went through training camp but didn't practice much, so maybe something's been wrong from the very beginning. But Ryan Matthews is the better back for the Eagles right now.
Yeah, if they want to appease Murray, that may not be a good idea. They should probably just, I don't want to say shut him down, but roll with Matthews and let Murray maybe heal up and for the stretch run, because, yeah, he doesn't really look all that great.
And you asked me about Aguilar, again, he's a rookie wide receiver, so it's very possible he's thinking the game, but He certainly does not look explosive on film. Of course, I didn't see him that way coming out of USC. I think the Eagles thought differently. I didn't see him that way. The other thing that I think's potentially concerning is they're facing a lot of man-to-man coverage, and Jordan Matthews really had a hard time getting open last week against an undrafted slot corner named Keyshawn Jarrett out of Virginia Tech. So that was a little disconcerting watching the tape as well. If you're a Matthews guy in fantasy and if you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we thought, and in the preseason, it looked good after a couple of weeks. We thought he was just going to be a major volume guy and everything. It looked great after 2 weeks.
And I think he still has to be, John. He'll have to be for this team, but he did not create separation this week.
New Orleans D, they're a little healthier here on the back end. But, you know, what type of challenge do you see here with the Saint D? I don't see a great pass rush. I see weaknesses across the board here. I mean, is this a defense that the Eagles can continue to progress against and take another step forward against?
Well, I think now it comes down to how Rob Ryan chooses to play this week. He's not been high percentage blitz up to this point, but when he looks at this Eagle offense, he may say to himself, you know what, I'm going to go after it. Bradford's uncomfortable. Their receivers don't really get open versus man. They played a ton of man versus the Cowboys last week, a ton of man. And what it did is you could almost take that game plan. And again, no game plan is exactly the same week to week. But here's what it did. It forced the Cowboys receivers to run excellent routes to create separation. Wouldn't it make sense to force the Eagles receivers to do that? And it also demanded that Whedon make precise ball placement throws to the right receiver at the right time. Wouldn't you want to do that against Sam Bradford?
Now, if they do that, how can the Eagles attack that? Maybe a Darren Sproles game, make him a huge.
Well, I think Sproles, correct. Sproles theoretically becomes that guy, and when the Saints played two man coverage with two deep safeties, they matched up Browner on the tight end and the rookie linebacker Anthony on the back. So the Eagles would look at the Sproles Anthony matchup as a matchup that absolutely favors them.
Yeah, and I know Browner has actually struggled a little bit this year. Also, for the Saints, you know, just so the listeners know out there, I'm getting a lot of grief for how I ranked Brandon Cooks last week, but my contention was that given how solid Luke McCown looked the week before, the fact that Breeze is playing, I felt, okay, he can make all the throws. And I heard a little whisper about that as well, that he can make all the throws. And then they play the game. He doesn't challenge the defenses down the field. But Sean Payton said, no, it's because of the protection issues. You looked at the tape, Greg, and you think Breeze can make all the throws.
I do, and I think there are protection issues. I think that Sean Payton is 100% correct. Their O-line has not been very good this year in pass protection. But I mentioned this to you last night. Breeze made a throw early in the game on 3rd and 11, a far hash kind of deep comeback type throw, and the ball came out just fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with Breeze's arm right now.
Yeah, and Colston looks done. Brandon Coleman, I think, is awful. And you like Willie Snead. I like Willie Snead. I thought he looked good last summer for the Browns, and he's given this passing attack some life, Greg.
Well, now with Snead, Spiller, and Cooks, they at least have some juice in the pass game, and I think this offense will continue to improve as long as those guys can stay healthy.
Chicago at Kansas City. I have some concerns about the Bear offense this week. We'll see about Alshon Jeffrey. He was limited. Looks like he may have a chance to play. But Bushrod at tackle, Greg, he's not going to play. So that's a problem. And although, you know, it's KC in KC. I mean, they've got Houston and Holly and all that. But you saw the tape last week, and the chief pass rush was non-existent.
Yeah, but that was the nature of the opponent against Cincinnati with that quick rhythm passing game. Dalton's playing at a high level, getting the ball out quickly. I think it'll be totally different this week versus the Bears. I really do. I think at home against a pass game that, you know, Cutler's not quite that kind of precision player, never really has been. I think that this will be a kind of a get-well game to some degree for the Chiefs defense. I really do.
Yeah. Good, because, I mean, you know, we projected them before we talked to you, and I have the Chief D very high this week. In fact, I would agree with you, John.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I don't think this is a good matchup for the Bears, and I think it's a very good matchup for the Chiefs D.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers, what they've given up. a lot, but they've faced two Hall of Famers in Andy Dalton, who's on fire. So this Chief D is still pretty darn good here. But overall, though, you do think that Cutler's kind of hanging in there. You know, he hasn't been Jay Cutler. He's not bad, right?
No, I think he's been solid. And I think, look, we know how they want to play. They can't quite get to it. You know, last week they couldn't more so. But their defense has to continue to improve. And then I think they can play the way they want to play on offense. But I think they're trying to control Cutler. And I think if they can do that, then he'll play better. But we'll see how this game goes. I mean, the one thing you will say about the Chiefs' offense is you wouldn't call them explosive. You know, look, last week, what was very surprising, and I'm in the middle of that tape right now, is they didn't really focus on the run game, and the game was close until the end of the third quarter. It was really a pass-first approach. They did not give the ball to Charles. I think he carried for the game 11 times, and you're watching the tape, and you're just kind of saying to yourself, why don't they have Alex turn around and hand it to Charles?
Yeah, I think that they've had designs for 2 years to limit Charles's touches, which is smart. I think maybe one issue is Nile Davis, Greg, has been demoted. Sharkandrick
right.
West. And
West,
Davis
yeah,
is a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Davis looks terrible. I mean, Davis is a big back. You know, he should be able to be a nice change up here. 10 carries a game, but he's just ineffective. I mean, that's it.
Yep.
You know, but this Chief offense, they're kind of a mess. They don't really have an identity. We're talking about it. It's like most teams have a decent at least number two and a slot guy. They don't have either right now. So they've got
three. Yeah, they're trying to work the rookie in. Yeah, they were trying to work in the rookie, Chris Connolly from Georgia. Now, he started opposite Macklin last week, and I assume he'll continue to do that. He's a big kid who can run, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Bear D, beatable D for sure, but you know they're not bad. I mean, we keep kind of throwing them under the bus, but they're hanging in there. Vic Fangio seemingly doing a good job.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Let's go to Seattle at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati, I would imagine, is a tougher matchup for Seattle's defense, especially in Cincinnati, in terms of I don't know how you dominate an offense. They tend to dominate offenses. I mean, they dominated last week against Detroit for sure. I mean, Detroit had some moments, but Seattle D had their way with them. I don't know how you do that against Cincy with a good O-line, with a good quarterback who's getting rid of the ball, doesn't get sacked, and really no weaknesses on offense for the Bengals.
No, it's a very good test for Cincinnati because they have weapons all across their team. They've got a solid O-line, not a great O-line, but right now the way they're throwing the football, that's helping their O-line because Dalton is playing with great timing, great rhythm, throwing with anticipation, throwing to the right receiver. He's playing as well as he ever has. That's what the first 4 weeks of tape show, and that's all we can go on at this moment. They're doing some different things with A.J. Green where they line him up. Marvin Jones is a really solid number two outside type receiver. We know about Eifert. So this offense has all the parts. They're playing against a really good defense, and this is a really good test for Cincinnati's offense.
Bengals are seventh with 11 sacks this year, so they're a lot better than last year. Last year they were not getting to the quarterback. Geno Atkins playing better. They bring in Michael Johnson, bring him back. Carlos Dunlap seemingly playing well here. And Greg, it's Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I mean, this is turning into a decent matchup for a fantasy defense because this O-line is horrific, Greg, and that's the opposite of gurific.
And the Bengals have really evolved over the last, maybe year or so. They're not a high percentage blitz team anymore. They're really a D-line centric team, and their D-line is playing very, very well. And the Seahawks offense, still the pass game is, it really lives and dies with Wilson's ability to make out of structure improvisational plays. We know he's terrific at that. They don't do much beyond that. They're a tough watch on tape because there's not a lot of pass game concepts, and the O-line has really, really struggled. And Wilson is going to move if the O-line struggles because he's certainly not a late in the down pocket quarterback because of his size.
Yeah, and you've been saying this for a couple of years, and Gruden broke it down very well on Monday Night Football. I mean, I think John Gruden is outstanding breaking it down on Monday Night Football, by the way. I think he's the best. And Jimmy Graham is killing people out there, Greg, and you mentioned the plays out of structure. So he goes from playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback and Sean Payton in a great offense.
And a great offensive and great offensive concepts.
Right. To just run around and make some plays, and that's what's killing him.
Yeah, and you know, I think I made this point to you last night. When you watch this team now, is the Seattle offense, you don't really get a feel for exactly what the plan is with Graham. And again, I'm sure if they were sitting here and in part of this conversation, they would tell you they have one, but I find it difficult to get a feel for that on tape. He's not really utilized the way he was in Seattle as kind of that movable chess piece creating matchups, both for him and others.
Yeah, and in final thought, my takeaway, my opinion, and you can react, is, boy, they need Marshawn Lynch, and we all knew it was a run-based offense, but I think beyond that, it sets up Wilson to have success. He is very good on play action. And ideally, you're pounding the rock with Lynch and then picking your spots. Because otherwise, Greg, my contention is you want to stop Russell Wilson, make him throw the ball. I mean, that's my takeaway. I mean, he had a couple throws Monday night where he was just off.
You can make the argument, as you just did, that Lynch is the driving force of this offense, and he in some ways masks the glaring deficiencies of the pass game. And you know, without Lynch, I mean, look, Rawls came in the week before and had some nice runs, but this week they couldn't get really any run game going whatsoever.
Yeah, let's talk about Washington at Atlanta, and Kirk Cousins, got to give him credit, 45 dropbacks last week and didn't throw a pick. But I'm thinking that the Falcon defense is a sleeper this week for fantasy in the Loud Dome. They're rolling offensively. What do you think about this matchup for the Redskin offense here against Atlanta in this day?
I think there's some merit to that. I watched that tape pretty closely. You have to give Cousins credit, but I think the tape suggested that he didn't play as well as the numbers. I thought they did a really good job with him because he's a guy you've got to manage and control as well. And I thought that they did a good job last week with him. You know, on that final drive, boy, there were just a couple of plays there that I think he got away with. But hey, that's the way it worked. But I think this is a tough game for them. And I think that the Falcons' defense is a little better than people think. Maybe not great personnel, but very disciplined under Dan Quinn. And I think it's going to be a tough go for the Redskin offense. And Jordan Reed is out.
Yeah, and he's got 35 targets, Greg. 34. Garcon's got 35.
Yep.
Reed has 34. They both have 24 grabs. You know, Jordan Reed's actually averaging two plus yards a catch more than Garcon. So they're real thin if Jordan Reed doesn't play. And we'll see about Deshaun. I think there's a slight chance that he plays. Atlanta's offense here, and as you know, I do the radio show with Roddy White, so I talk about it a lot. And he's, you know, we don't need to get into him. He's not getting the looks. They're working Leonard Hankerson as the second progression for Matt Ryan, and they're also working that off of Julio Jones. So Roddy White right now is the most high-profile decoy in the NFL. But, you know, how about the O-line in Atlanta, Greg? They have really surprised. Matthews looks good. Lavitre's fitting in well. And I think that's been the key to their success.
Yeah, and again, all I'll come back to is the film shows an O-line playing well. And I think the scheme of Kyle Shanahan is helping tremendously. I mean, John, they line up with a fullback in two back sets on more than a third of their snaps, almost 34-35% of their snaps, far and away the highest number in the NFL. So that helps pass protection as well. And it helps also define the defense when it's first down, because you know you're going to get certain predictable coverages, and it really helps their pass game. But I think the other big factor is Devontae Freeman, the way he's running. He is running really hard.
Yeah, and Roddy told me somebody for the Cowboys pissed him off 2 weeks ago pregame. It was seriously, it was Wilcox. So I said, can you go over every week and get the biggest wise ass on the other team, start busting his chops, because he was angry, and he was angry last week. But Greg, they're also, I think my takeaway is that they're mixing the plays really well and keeping defenses off balance. And Julio is just such a monster. You can't like double him and all that. I mean, so it's just really all clicking here. So the bottom line is Redskin defense has been pretty good against the run. Check out who they've played. And I know they're good against the run. They are good, but check out who they've played. Nothing really outstanding there. So we'll move on, Greg. Jacksonville at Tampa. Not a lot to go off of here. Jameis Winston, once again, Greg, very up and down, no big surprise. Anything of note when you watch him throwing it to Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans? Is the absence of Austin Seferian Jenkins hurting this offense? I would think so. Any takeaways here for after a month of Jameis?
Yeah, Winston? I mean, you have to keep a couple of things in mind. Last week, he played against a Panthers defense that's highly coverage-based. Now, he's going to play against a Jacksonville defense that's highly coverage-based without a lot of pressure. And last week, he struggled a bit to kind of read some basic coverages. He's going to be in that same situation this week, and he's going to have to be much more disciplined mentally in this game. These are not defenses that have high percentage blitz, that have a lot of detailed, complex looks before the snap of the ball. So he's really, and he even said it himself after the game, he's going to have to work a little harder. He's going to have to do more classroom work, more on-field practice work. He's going to have to be better mentally, because these are the kinds of defenses you can't be confused against.
Yeah, and I know that you didn't see the tape from the Jaguars last week, but Blake Bortles
did not yet.
Yeah, he did play well in this game, and Allen Hurns doing some really nice things. Tampa Bay's defense, any thoughts there? I mean, they're kind of just there. I mean, they're hardly a shutdown group, but
my guess is it was a function of the opponent because of the Panthers, but they played a ton more of single high coverages as opposed to their two shell. So they didn't play a lot of cover two, but I think that might be a function of who they played against. Now, the other thing is the Jags are clearly giving the ball to Yeldon, and Yeldon has looked good. So the question is, will they continue to play more single high and get the safety McDougal, number 30, who's really more of a glorified linebacker? Will they want him down in the box against this Jaguars offense because of Yeldon?
Yeah. How much can Julius Thomas help here? What kind of impact can he make? I think it could be quite large when he's ready to go. It doesn't look like it's going to be this week.
You'd like to assume that they'll use him the way he's most effective, which is as a movable chess piece. We just had this conversation about Graham, who's not really being used that way by Seattle at this point, but you'd like to think that Thomas gives them a lot of flexibility, a lot of dimensions in their pass offense, and you'd like to assume that that's what they'll do with him.
Yeah, that's the plan. Totally is the plan. I mean, he'll split out wide a lot. Yep. They also look at him as a key red zone threat. And I think Bortles is legit. I'm starting to feel comfortable that he's going to settle into a place in which he's an above average, maybe even better than that, maybe a very good NFL quarterback. Greg, you thinking that?
I want to look at him this week, and I will, but I think there's some evidence of that. I think it's too early for me to say that for sure, but there's evidence to lean in that direction.
Cleveland at Baltimore, and hey, you got to give some credit to John DeFilippo. I guess they're hanging in there offensively with some shaky personnel.
They sure are.
Josh McCown looked pretty good last week.
I thought if you didn't know who he was and you took the name and number off his back, I thought that was one of the better quarterback performances of the week.
Wow. And Duke Johnson.
Now, whether that happens every week, I don't know if it happens every week, John, but I know you just start to mention Duke Johnson, who's become sort of, almost a Shane Vereen type at this point. I think they'd like to get more out of him from the run game, but you can split him out, and he beat a linebacker last week for a touchdown. Beautiful throw by McCown, but Johnson clearly beat him. That's the way they're using him now. As I said, I think they'd like him to be a little more in the run game right now.
Yeah, and I guess Travis Benjamin's their number one. I didn't give him the love that maybe he should have gotten a couple
weeks
ago.
Well, he's their number one. He's not a number one. Yeah, he's their number one. He's not a number one. Yeah.
Of course. And how many hours have you locked yourself in the film room studying Gary Barnage? It's got to be like 6 hours, Greg, that you've studied Gary Barnage, because everyone's
talking
about
him. That's on a daily basis, John.
It's funny, me and Kaplan bust each other's chops about low-end players that we've kind of been intrigued by who've done nothing. Gary Barnage has been the guy that Kaplan's made fun of me about for about 5 years, because I saw him in the preseason with the Panthers, like, you know, 5 years ago. I'm like, this guy's pretty good. He can run. And all of a sudden, you know, I got to make fun of him because Gary Barnage is like all over the place for the Browns last couple of weeks. And this
Look, you know, we've had this conversation before, and for fantasy, all this stuff's good. There's a difference between fantasy and then the reality of the player. You know, we've talked about that with DeAndre Hopkins a lot. But, hey, these are the players the Browns put out there, so they're going to be throwing the football.
Yeah, and this Raven D is, I mean, where are they now? I mean, still not seeing a pass rush. They haven't been torched, you know, but what do you think of this defense? I mean, they're still pretty good against the run, at least.
You're talking about Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore's D.
Yeah. I mean, still solid against the run, but they're very up and down against the pass. And again, McCown's not the kind of quarterback you can say with certainty on a weekly basis is going to do what he did last week, and they certainly don't have a big-time receiving core. But I think there's going to be opportunities in this game to throw the ball against that defense.
Joe Flacco didn't play very well last week, but
he did not.
Just by the numbers, Greg, this Brown D is just not any good. They don't stop the run. They don't stop the pass. Joe Hayden's had a bad year. And Chris Givens, can he help this running attack? I have to think that part of the problem with Justin Forsett, who we did push this year, we did like quite a bit, has simply been that teams are stacking a box and the O-line's just not creating big lanes. And I got to think having a deep threat, loosen that defense up a little bit will help. And, you know, as we talked about last night, they're just going to just give them 2-3 routes and just throw it deep. Maybe you get a completion or a pass interference. That's got to help Forsett, Greg.
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned this. I think Joe would like to push the ball down the field. I think Mark Trestman is a little more of the short to intermediate kind of coordinator. So I'm sure they're working through that. You know, I guess Steve Smith, is he out?
Not looking good. I don't think he's going to go this week. Not looking good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're down bodies. That's why they made the trade for Chris Givens, who clearly can run. I think their pass game right now is hard to figure, John. I don't know how you have it rated this week in fantasy, but I think it's hard to figure for this week.
It totally, yeah, it's very different. I personally like Kamar Aiken a little bit for fantasy. I think the kid's capable enough, and they just
agree.
For opportunity wise, they need him. You know.
Yep.
Buffalo at Houston. I've got some thoughts here in that the Bills are getting hurt by quick, short passing games. Get the ball out quickly, offset that pass rush. And they're giving up numbers. So I'm thinking that maybe Marcus Mariota, and this kind of fits to what they're doing offensively, maybe Marcus Mariota has some success. You do have some thoughts about him against a 3-4-D, though.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is when you look back, they played the Browns a few weeks ago, similar concepts to what he's going to get from Buffalo. So that's, you know, it just gives you pause. Now, I thought Mariota, after he struggled a little bit in the first half of that game against Mike Pettine's defense, where his internal clock was just a little bit off, and, you know, he was seeing some things he probably hadn't seen before, but I thought he settled down really well in that game and had a really strong second half. So now the question is, what will he get from Rex? And they have some elements of quick drop, clearly, where they do the shotgun stuff and the backfield fakes and, you know, some of the things viewed as college stuff, but everybody kind of does it now in the NFL as well. So they do have some things where the ball's going to come out, but he's just going to get, I think, see some different things this game, and that's sort of Rex Ryan's calling card.
Yeah, Kyle Williams, I don't think is going to play,
really?
That helps. Yeah, I don't think he's going to play, Greg. So, I mean, that's a pretty big loss for them up front. I mean,
it is. It is.
Yeah.
They do a lot with him. I mean, he lines up all over the defensive front. So that's a loss for them.
Yeah. I did have something else here on. Oh, let's go over to Buffalo, and obviously Tyrod Taylor's—he is what he is at this point. He's hanging in there. It's a basic offense, and all that. We're not going to have most likely Carlos Williams. McCoy is out. I'm noticing that once again, this O-line is not exactly creating a lot of room as they did last year. But you know, we do a column called "Trade and Trade For," players to trade and trade for, and people. The problem with this business sometimes is people want information early, even if it's wrong. or even if it's incomplete. Just give me the information. Well, you know, sometimes it takes time. We got to go through the games. We're watching the games, you know, and going through all the numbers. So they want it on a Tuesday, but yeah, here we are yesterday on a Wednesday. We're going through, and my takeaway was Charles Clay has never been a guy that I've pushed because I've always felt like he's been a week-to-week guy, function of the matchup in Miami. But as I watch him the last couple of weeks, Greg, I feel my takeaway is that Charles Clay is like a major foundation player, and he will be every week for the Bills. Your thoughts?
He will be. Absolutely. I think he's, for the most part, and again, Watkins being in and out of the lineup, we don't know where what will happen when he starts playing, but I think Clay's been really their primary. And when you talk about Taylor, you can see watching the tape that the Bills want the ball out of his hands quick. There's a lot of predetermined throws that don't require reading. It's a somewhat remedial pass game. There's not very many intermediate route combinations, and this is the right thing to do, by the way. And obviously, they don't want to play games. They assume their defense can keep every game together and that they can play this way offensively. Now, this requires a run game. They may not have a quality back this week if Williams does not go, because Dixon is not the answer.
No. And we had Clay pretty high last week in our rankings, and he came through big time, and he's even higher this week. And again, to the listeners out there, I would look to acquire him, you know, before he blows up. I think this could continue here with Chuck Clay, if you will. Moving on, Greg, to the Rams at Packers, and I've noticed it, and you've even noticed it on tape here. This Ram D is simply not as effective, especially on grass, on the road. So, you know, any thoughts on that? And by the way, they lost Alec Ogletree,
which I think is a huge loss. And he's a player that people don't talk about because they have other players. But he's a terrific athlete, and he's big. He's a key part of this defense. And, you know, I've never been a road-home guy. I don't like to analyze games that way because I always feel like that's taking the easy way out. But when you watch tape, the one thing that you can't get away from, John, and I know we've talked about this before, is that the Rams' D looks really fast at home, and they don't look that way on the road.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, week two, I believe, the Redskins just ran it down their throat. So I'm thinking maybe a little Eddie Lacy action here. Of course, Lacy is involved every week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think, you know, everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers, and deservedly so, but I think that when all said and done, they run the ball. I mean, it's not like Lacy gets 9 carries. I mean, they run the ball.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking maybe Lacy, you know, like a 23, 24 carry game for a buck 25.
Could well be. Could well be. And the Rams, for as good as they are defensively, they struggled at times versus the run. They're not a shutdown run defense.
Exactly. Yep. Let's move on to Arizona at Detroit, and it's kind of a perfect storm for the Lions. They're not going to have Eric Ebron. It's ironically, you know, all summer I thought he was like a big key to them taking a step forward, and ironically, he's been their lone bright spot. So I don't know how horribly Stafford is playing in terms of analyzing the tape, but I don't put it really on him as much as I put it on the O-line. And, Greg, they, as you know, they just can't run the damn ball. I mean, I thought Amir Abdullah got every single inch that was on the field for the taking on Monday night and ran really hard. They just can't run the ball, Greg. This O-line stinks, and it's killing the offense.
They're an out-of-sync offense, John. And when you watch tapes, you know, when this goes beyond the X's and O's, basically, but you just get a feel when you're watching. There's no rhythm. They're out of sync.
Right.
It seems
yeah.
like it becomes individual plays. And I know that's not true the way they're called, but I mean, that's
yeah.
the way it comes across because they can't execute the way they want to execute. So what you get, you just hit it on the head. They can't run the ball. They're always behind and down. And now they're just trying to make individual plays.
Exactly. And for what it's worth, my takeaway is Calvin Johnson is not the same guy. I mean, I think he's fallen
off.
Yeah,
how are you dealing with how are you dealing with him in fantasy?
I mean, it's tough because, you know, basically he should have had a nice game last week. I mean, he should have scored a touchdown, you know. So, you know, I'm pulling back. I'm giving him less yards per catch, you know, because his average is not very good this year. I mean, I'm going to pull it up right now. I bet you he's averaging, well, here you go.
I think he's averaging like 11, 12 yards a catch.
9.4.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's down from 15. I mean, it's early, but geez, that's a huge.
I think the one thing that stands out, and I don't have numbers in front of me, you would know this better, but with Stafford and with those supposed weapons, you would think that they'd have explosive plays down the field. I don't think they have very many of those this year at all.
No, and Golden Tate hasn't been as effective either. It's weird, but. And then this matchup here is scary, Greg. I mean, the Cardinals blitz, and that's what they're going to do. Patrick Peterson has had a good year. So you can put Peterson on Calvin, maybe.
Which they've done.
Yeah,
they've done that in the past, John. I mean, they played them numerous times in Peterson's career. He always matches up to Calvin, even travels with him in the slot if need be. And they're going to pressure this team. There's no question. I mean, they're going to start blitzing off the bus in this game.
Yeah, and I'm concerned big time. How about the matchup on the other side? I mean, you know, I got to give credit to the Lion D. They're not bad at all. You know, they got a pass rush now with Ansah coming on. But how do you stop Arizona right now and Carson Palmer? They're executing so well.
Yeah, and they just played a bad offense in Seattle. Now they're playing a really well-conceived pass game with a ton of really good concepts, unlike Seattle. So the one thing they do have going for them is they have a lot of length on their D-line. They're a big D-line, and they've got some athleticism. So I think really the burden falls on the O-line for the Cards. But even though the Cards lost last week, as you and I discussed last night, there's nothing wrong with their offense. They just had some red zone issues last week, but they're still moving the ball extremely well.
Yeah. And by the way, just as an aside, I'm fascinated by Rasheen Mathis. I mean, I can't recall a corner this old playing this well. And he was covering Kevin Lockett on a play early Monday night. And I thought, you know what? I bet you he played in the league with his, not Kevin, Tyler. He was covering Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I thought to myself, I bet you Rasheen Mathis was in the league for at least a year with Kevin Lockett. And sure enough, he was. So, I mean, here he is. He's played with the guys in the league with the guy's dad. Now he's out there covering his son. I mean, that's unbelievable. Moving on to New England at Dallas. Your thoughts here? No Sean Lee potentially for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a problem because what you're gonna get here, I assume, and again, you never know with Bill Belichick, but we did a ton of research for this week's matchup show on the Patriots and their empty no back sets because they do this far more than any team in the league. In fact, almost 40% of Tom Brady's throws this year have come out of empty no-back sets, and he's been ridiculously efficient. 32 for 41 for 420 yards out of empty. And that's where Deion Lewis has made his catches, which has, of course, helped in fantasy. And obviously Edelman makes a ton of catches out of empty. And I think that Dallas, you know, without Sean Lee, I mean, it'll be very interesting because, you know, I think Hitchens does a nice job in the middle for them, and I think he's athletic. But we'll see. You know, Dallas has played a lot more man coverage than people might think. They've really morphed into a man-to-man coverage team.
And once again, that could mean a huge game for Deion Lewis, Greg, if they're doing that.
It could well be.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, Lewis has been such a surprise, but he's been really good in the pass game in particular, too.
They cut Travaris Cadet, by the way, I believe. Little news that came down the line here. So they're happy with Lewis, despite the fact that he's fumbling here. Brandon Whedon in this game. I mean, the New England defense is hardly a shutdown group. Might he have some success?
No, not at this point. You're right.
That's a tough sell, isn't it? That's a tough sell, isn't it?
He's we talked about this. He is a tough sell. I mean, when I watch Whedon, you know, when all's said and done, I'm not exactly sure what to make of him. I think he's a little slow. He's a little deliberate physically. I think even mentally, there are times he looks a little slow recognizing and isolating quickly where to go with the ball. And I think that's why he never became a quality starter for a guy who can actually throw it pretty darn well. But he just seems both mentally and physically, it's just a beat slow and a beat deliberate, and I think that's the reason he's Brandon Whedon.
There's a little bit of a disconnect between fantasy and reality with Terrence Williams, too. I'm just not overly impressed, but he's made a couple of plays to come through here. But what's the tape say about him?
Yeah, and he caught the touchdown, which is obviously great for fantasy, but I think he struggles to get open against a man. He's not a particularly good route runner. There's not a lot of subtlety to his routes. I don't think he really knows how to do that. Or let's put it this way, what he's being taught, if he's being taught, and I assume he is not translating to the practical application on the field. And this was his chance to kind of become a sort of 1A type receiver, and I don't think he's shown that at all.
Denver at Oakland, and Denver's offense, it's a little bit more of a week-to-week proposition, maybe a function of matchup. Obviously, the Raider D is struggling as usual, so you would think it'll be a good day for Peyton. But might we learn a little bit more about the running attack here? Because, you know, you take away the long run by Ronnie Hillman, and granted, they need his explosiveness. He also had struggles running it, but maybe we'll find something out this week, Greg. If they can't run it this week, assuming they're in control, then I think that's a huge sign of trouble. Maybe they won't run it all year.
Yeah, they have to keep working on that, and I would think this would be the game, because I think their defense will hold it together. I mean, this defense has been terrific all season. You look at them on third and long, and teams just don't convert. I mean, I think on third and long, which is usually viewed as more than six by league stats, if I'm not mistaken, I looked up this number earlier in the week, offenses against Denver on third and long have converted 4 out of 31.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that you'd have to expect that even though Carr and that offense are progressing nicely, I mean, Carr at times is uneven as a second-year quarterback, but I would say they're trending upward clearly. I think this will be a tough go for that offense against Denver's D, so now Denver's O needs to be able to run the ball, and I think they'll keep working on it.
Yeah, I know you didn't watch Oakland's offense, right, last week, did you?
I did not yet, no.
Yeah. Well, here's our guy, who you know, Bo Wolf, doing some of the – he watches tapes and gives us all the notes. Carr looked awful early, wildly inaccurate, staring down receivers. So maybe that's not good.
Yeah, I did notice I talked to one of my guys on Matchup who was watching him. He watched Oakland's offense, and he said he was inaccurate early, yes. So that – and again – you know, obviously that can't be a weekly problem, but I'd almost rather see a guy miss a couple of throws, which happens, as opposed to not knowing where to throw it.
Yeah, and you've been fairly critical on Latavius in terms of, you know, the skill set and all that. And,
well, again, John, I don't like to look at that stuff as being critical. I like to look at, yeah, hey, this is what the film shows. It's just right. I don't think he's a highly skilled runner is to me what the film shows.
Right. Well, your takeaways are not positive, so yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
right.
Let's see. Yeah, so that's a terrible matchup for Latavius. I mean, terrible. And he's going to have to.
I would agree.
And he's going to have to catch some passes here to come through for fantasy, because we're giving him like 54 yards rushing in this game. That may be generous. 49ers, your favorite tape study. At the Giants. I mean, do you want to watch this offense kind of like human, intrigue of watching like train wrecks and accidents and things like that? I mean, is it that bad?
Wow.
With Kaepernick right now?
You're not holding back. I mean, look, you're dealing with a quarterback right now that he's just not seeing it. It's not registering. Mentally, he's a little bit shot right now, and therefore he can't function physically. You know, at some point, if this continues, they're going to have an organizational decision to make, because if it continues, and I'm saying this honestly, you can't put him out there, because he's mentally defeated right now. And they're going to give him another shot this week on the road against the Giants, obviously, a defense that's played far better than I think people might have thought they would have played. They're getting really good contributions from a lot of people who, you know, the Devin Kennards, the Jay Bromleys, people like that. And even Unga, the kid who is playing in there as their, yeah, one of their nickel linebackers, is really good as a nickel linebacker. So, Kaepernick is right now, he's at the point where I'm not sure the defense matters. He's not able to execute very simple things against even the most basic of defenses.
Yeah, and Steve Spagnuolo is doing a good job, and Kaepernick is just destroying Carlos Hyde, just killing him. On the other
and
side,
for your fantasy receivers, yeah, he's killing the fantasy receivers. You know, Bolden, Torrey Smith. You know, he's killing you guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean we've given up on them anyway. I mean we've moved on already. I mean Vernon Davis was injured last week. He's limited here. No, I'm seriously. No, we've given up. I mean, wave the white flag. For the Giants, things are a lot better offensively here in New York, and Eli continues to, you know, play well. Greg, they don't have a ton to work with here. It's a shame about Victor Cruz, but that. Regardless of that, I mean, Eli's still playing very well. He did throw a pick, but getting it done here.
His first one of the year, which was not a terrible pick. I mean, it was terrible in the sense that it was in the red zone, but it was an understandable throw is my point. They've gotten contributions now from Dwayne Harris, who last week was essentially their slot receiver. So, no, this is a very efficient offense. The ball comes out of Eli's hand. I actually enjoy watching this offense because there's a rhythm to it. There's a feel to it. And I enjoy watching it on tape.
And I know that you think the Niner secondary is actually decent, but I am calling for Odell Beckham Jr., who's been a little quiet for fantasy, to kind of come through here. I mean, he can do it against anyone, but you know, you think that the secondary here for the Niners actually is not that bad.
No, I think, look, I know that they had two games where the numbers against them were bad, and that makes people think they're bad. But the Niners, they played differently last week against Green Bay as opposed to their first three games when they were heavy blitz. Last week, they were heavy coverage, very little blitz. I think they'll stay with the coverage-based approach, John, because of how quickly Eli gets rid of the ball. This is a quick rhythm, quick passing game. And I think if you try to blitz, unless it's third and nine or third, something like that, you're really just giving up a player because you're not going to get there.
And are you surprised that Shane Vereen, as surprised as we are, that he's not assimilated quicker into this offense? I mean, he plays,
I
but
am
he's
surprised
just not productive.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. I'm surprised that the production is not there. I thought it really would be after the week two game when he had a lot of production. I've been surprised, yes. I think it'll still come around, but I'm surprised right now.
I mean, last week it seemed like, oh, man, Shane Vereen's going to have seven balls against Bill D, and he did diddly-poo. Moving on here, the last game on the docket is Pittsburgh at San Diego, and the Chargers dealing with a bunch of injuries on the O-line. Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, but we do get Antonio Gates back. But through it all, Phillip Rivers had a huge game last week. I'll ask you this, though. Can the return of Antonio Gates, can that help Melvin Gordon at all? I mean, are these things related? Can you spell that a little bit?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that, John. No one knows for sure. I wouldn't necessarily make that correlation. You know, Rivers is the kind of quarterback that can camouflage some O-line weaknesses because he has tremendous anticipation. Plus, he's so tough in the pocket that he will stay there. You know, he's not one to bail if he sees opposing jersey color. He stays. So he can help camouflage some weaknesses. I think Gordon has been very up and down as an NFL runner. The more I watch him, the more I have some concerns about his vision. So we'll see. You know, I think he's the kind of guy that can break a run on occasion. I mean, last week he had a long run, and other than that, he did nothing. You know, he may end up being one of those kinds of backs.
Yeah, let's also get him a little bit more reps. You know, maybe.
I agree. That's not a final judgment. That's not a final judgment, believe me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's a second half of the season type of a guy. And again, as listeners know, we did not like him in the preseason. But sometimes when everyone's down on a guy, now we like him because now we're like, okay, that's the way it works. I mean, we didn't like Bishop Sankey at all going into last year, but there was a point where like, you know what? Maybe you get him because he's going to get the ball. Of course, that didn't work out. But let's move on. And you know, any thoughts on this Steeler D? They haven't been awful, but anything on the Steeler D?
Well, they're a different D than we're used to. They're not a dynamic D. They're not necessarily a blitzing D. They do blitz, but you know,
sacks.
They're not necessarily. What's that?
They're getting sacks this year.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, they do blitz. They are in the upper half of the league in terms of blitz percentage versus quarterback dropback. They're not in the top five or six, but Yeah, they're. I think they've been solid. I think the secondary can be attacked, and this matchup. You know, again, they're playing against a San Diego offense that's going to be down some receivers. So now, you know, now it's on Rivers. I mean, ultimately, this game to me is on Rivers. I don't think they'll run it great. They'll try to run it, but I don't think they'll run it great. And I think this game will be on Rivers.
Yeah, and you know, a final thought. The Charger D, Greg, they have not, they've disappointed me. I thought this was going to be a good D. You can run on them, and they're giving up passes too.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought they'd be better. And but again, now I think right now with Michael Vick, you know, and obviously we know Le'Veon Bell is great, but I don't have a feel yet for what this Steeler pass game could be. I mean, last week Antonio Brown, and he would tell you this, drop what he should have caught for a touchdown. So, you know, it's not that Vick's incapable, but I'm not sure yet. The consistency part I don't think will be there. And we talked about this once Big Ben went out, that they wouldn't be consistent with the pass game.
Yeah, and I mean, final thought, my takeaway, and I know sometimes I oversimplify things, but you know, you got Martavis Bryant, the kid's huge, he's physical, he can fight for the ball down the field and he track it down well. Vic still has a good arm. Just send him on a go route 3-4 times a game and throw it up to him. I mean, that's what I think they'll do, Greg.
And they might do that. They might do that. I mean, clearly they might do that because the corners for San Diego are not big and they may feel they have an advantage there. And I think that's something you'll see. Vic can certainly make those throws. He still can snap it off pretty well.
That's it. We're done. We're going to wrap it up now. We thank Greg Cosell for his thoughts as always. And we implore you to check out fantasyguru.com. If you're not a subscriber, if you are, we love you. Good luck in week number 5. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. We'll talk to you next time.